Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ dhammaṃ saṅghaṃ namāsāmi.
I would like to talk about the cultivation in Buddhism. As I said, Buddhism is a cultivation of the mind to be pure so that the mind can do no harm to ourselves and no harm to others. So when we say cultivation, it means it doesn't come automatically by itself. We have to put effort to cultivate it, to get the mind to a stage where the mind is strong enough to do the task, everyday task, that is confronting us. And it's not an easy thing, as you can see in the meditation. As you try to concentrate the mind is wandering off, naturally wandering off. And your wishes and desires, as far as you are concerned, is for the mind to be there concentrating on this breath. And that's all you want. But the mind there in its own natural process, wandering off into this thought, into that thought, and that how it is. It alone is actually teaching us a lot when we are meditating. What we want is to have this mind concentrated on this breath, breathing in and breathing out, the air brushing through the nose, to be there all the time, concentrated, fully concentrated. But then the mind just drifting off into something that is interesting, and then you forgot. That is not mindful, not aware that the mind is drifting away. That means not mindful. So in that forgetful state, the mind just take advantage of it and go its own way. Like a little child, you let go of it and then run into everywhere. In the shopping centers, isn't it? So the same thing, the mind, when you're not watching, when you're not observing, when you're not aware, when you're not mindful, in its own natural state, restless and wandering, just there. And it doesn't go into one thought fully, then, you know, go into one thought and then another thought just comes up. That's how the mind is. So, you know, we can start asking question now. Investigation, like Buddha said, yoni so manasikara, to investigate into things. If it is our wish for the mind to stay here concentrated on the breath, how come the mind is going here, going there? It is a very serious question we can ask. Don't forget, we are assuming that this is our mind. It is our mind. If it's our mind, how come we cannot control it, isn't it? Our house, yes, it's still there when you go home. Hasn't moved an inch. It's there where you left it. And your car, our car, it's still parked there, hasn't moved an inch. Because you have the ownership, you control it. If you say your mind is the same, you are my mind, our mind. How come the mind is not concentrating on this breath, going here, going there? It alone is, you know, worthy of a consideration, worthy of an investigation. How come if it is my mind, I can't control it? The mind is not listening to my wishes and desires to be concentrated on this breath. So now you see that it is not easy to tame this mind. It's a very wild mind. But is it possible to train this mind? It is possible. If you look at the wild horses in Australia, or the Brumbies running around in the wild. But after they have been caught, after 2-3 years, you can see them riding. They obey the commands. Same thing, when the mind is wild, it'll go everywhere, wander off everywhere. But when the mind is trained and fully concentrated, you can direct this mind to a higher state of mind. You live in the higher existence. You don't live with the everyday reality anymore. You cross that boundary. You go over it. You live with this truth or the ultimate reality. So everyday reality is like you and me now. You're hearing me and I'm seeing you. That is a reality that we cannot deny. You are you and I am I. But the one step beyond that is the ultimate reality. What you think you are, your mind, is actually a natural process. Even though it's your mind, you don't own it or you don't control it unless you train it. Even though you have trained, you can only direct the mind. It's a natural process, like driving a car. The nature of the car or a motorbike is, if you push the accelerator, regarding that engine has been warmed up and starting, change the right gear, then it will go. It will go. The direction wise is where you direct it. So if you direct it to the right, it will turn to the right. If you direct it straight, it will go straight. If you push it too hard, it will accelerate and the speed will speed up, increase, and it will go very fast. And then, if you turn, right, left, whatever direction you want to, it will go there. The mind is like that, You can direct the mind to the good things. So, in this, scenario, what happened is, unless there is a skilled driver driving the car won't, go with safety. There can be accidents. It can, bang into walls and trees and everything, because if somebody is not skillful, don't know how to drive and start driving, or even though they're driving for a while, they're not skillful, panic and this and that, then accidents happen. So, with this mind, like a car, the person who drives this mind, the skill of that person is very important. So, you can see that it doesn't come by its own. This mind, naturally, it doesn't come down and then do all the right things. Only through experience and practice that the mind has its wisdom, possess some wisdom through this calmness. And from that wisdom, we can direct the mind through this concentration. So, you can see that to get to that stage, we have to work. We have to cultivate this mind. And then, as you can see, as soon as you wake up, for some people, as soon as you hear some noises, your mind is already racing very fast. Things you hear in the kitchen, things they drop in the kitchen, the smell you get from the kitchen. I told them 1,000 times not to say that, not to do that. And boom, it goes. And you get up and all the words come out of your mouth with very much intensity. So some people start the day like that. And when they drive, they swear this way, they swear that way, because all the cars everywhere is, not to their liking, against them. When they get to work, it's the same. And when they come back, as soon as they enter the home, all the, shouting matches and arguments and confrontations. In the family like that, it's going like that. So the mind is automatically reacting and acting in its own natural state, like the wild horse running around. So the cultivation in Buddhism is, in that sense, very important. We have to cultivate this mind. So that's where meditation comes in. And when the mind is concentrated to a stage, then the wisdom part, a practice to have, to come in Buddhism, we call it a right effort, samavayama, right effort. Without right effort, the words itself says it all. You can't get anything in life without right effort. Even if you're taking drugs, you still have to put, in a sense, right effort, isn't it? To steal the money, to buy the, you know, drug and etc. These efforts you have to put in. But in Buddhism, the right effort is different. The right effort is in Buddhism is samavayama is expressed in terms of four exertions, or we call it a samapadana viriya. What it is to train the mind. Once you have this meditation and concentration and the mind is quite calm now and concentrated, you have this awareness, knowing that when the mind is going, when the mind is coming, you have this awareness now. When anger is start rolling up, you have this awareness. You don't have to do anything. You only watch thing as it is. Oh, that's how the anger is. Now there, rolling up, there. When it gets there, you have your wisdom already. That's how anger is. How jealousy is like this. How dislike is like that. How frustration is like this. You know, how envy is like this. You know that coming up. You don't say that it's good or bad. I shouldn't be angry. I shouldn't be like that. But you just watch it. Oh, it is like this. You know. And then when you feel heartbroken, when you feel sadness, intense pain through some tragedy or something, it coming up there, it's dwelling there, like a big cloud, you know, with, you know, tons of rocks in it. Then you know that, oh, that's how it is. Instead of saying, oh, I'm feeling so hurt, or, you know, I'm feeling this, I'm feeling that, this is bad. You don't say anything. You just watch it. That's how it is. Then, through knowing that, oh, when the mind is really moved, when the mind is really sad, when the mind met this sort of situation, this is how it acts. So you're like a third person, observing it yourself. Oh, look at him now, look at her now, feeling that way so much, you know. That's how you watch. And then, once you get to this stage, awareness, that is trying to bring awareness. Whatever is happening, even though you're crying, at the middle of the crying, notice that I'm crying. Crying is like this, you know? Like that. You know, not saying I'm hurting, I'm in pain, I'm in sorrow. Yes, you are, in conventional level, everyday reality. But wisdom kicks in and observe that, even that you observe it. Even in the dying moment, you observe it. Dying woman is like that. Awareness. Awareness is our best friend. Without awareness, it'll be like a house with all the windows shut. No air, no breeze to come through. With awareness, anything we try to do, something unwholesome, something that is not right, awareness tap us on the shoulder and said with the wisdom, you know, that is not right to say, that's not the right words, the consequences are there, that is not right action. So awareness is the one that tap on the shoulder. But for awareness to come in, we have to have this concentration and, you know, we have this practice. Otherwise we are shutting our best friend off and the awareness can't come in. So once you have this awareness, with this awareness, how do you get awareness? Buddha encourages it, or Buddha has taught us to notice everything, even when you're making a kapha and drinking a kapha. Notice that. You know, you don't have to say, oh, I'm lifting. It's not like that. Say, I'm drinking a kapha now. I'm answering a telephone call now. I'm reading the newspaper now. I'm watching the television now. This is Kayakara sati, whatever is the body doing, the mind doing, you notice that. So mainly it's the body function. Kayakara sati is that what is happening to the body, you're just aware of it. So when you have this, you know, making the kapha, brushing your teeth, washing your face, walking out of the door, driving the car, you're aware of it. So when you, once you have this everyday practice, whatever you do, then you come to have this natural tendency to notice everything. awareness, your anger, your, you know, frustrations, your body heat, your cold, everything, you notice it. So you notice your body, whatever your body is saying also, with little, you know, signs here and there, you notice that, you don't miss it. So once you have this awareness, the first thing, these four exertions to live life in a high state of mind is, the first one is, whatever there is, negative things, unwholesome things existing in our mind or in our lives, get rid of it. That's the number one. Proper exertion, right effort, putting right effort. Oh, you know, I have been hating this person for that long, so many years. I haven't talked to that person for so many years, my relatives, my uncle, so-and-so, my auntie, so-and-so. All these negative things you have, or whatever negative there is already existing, get rid of it. Break the barriers, break down the barriers, mend the bridges. Go and apologize, do what is there, you know, to do, not to continue the hatred. If you still don't want to associate, you don't have to associate. But you don't have to harbor that hatred and anger and taking grudges on things that has happened many, many years ago. Free from it. Don't put yourself in this prison. Free yourself. Whatever is there existing, all the negative things, unwholesome things, get rid of it. That's number one exertion. So every time the mind comes up, the mind doesn't want to do that in everyday reality. Oh, I hate her, I hate him. The mind doesn't want to do that. The mind lives in this everyday, very narrow, conventional reality. With wisdom, we've got to free ourselves. You know, whatever is there, existing, unwholesome things, get rid of it. That's the first exertion we have to do. The second exertion to live in the higher realm of mind is, whatever unwholesome things, negative things, bad things about to come up, don't let it come up. Get rid of it. Don't let it come up. You know, somebody do something and you really don't like it, brush it off. Don't worry about it. Brush it off and then look on the positive side. Try and mend the fences before it's gone too bad. It's okay. You know, once you become, you know, nice words and apologetic and this and that, you know, then later on become, you know, friends, and then things are much easier that way. The ego said, don't, you know, crawl to people, don't surrender, don't, you know, give in. You know, the ego is doing that. And we must understand that. We must overcome this ego with understanding, you know, with wisdom. There are another chapter, that one, why, how do you overcome ego? But in this context, it's not enough time to talk about the ego. So it's sufficient to say that don't worry about your ego that much. Like the mind that you cannot control, it is a product of the ego. The ego is the product of the mind. So don't worry about it too much. Product of the unskillful mind in everyday sense. So don't worry about it too much. It's not wisdom. It's not coming from the wise, you know, and rational way of doing things. So number two exertion is to get rid of all the unwholesome things, all the negative things that is not yet arisen. So we do that. The first thing, whatever is there, negative and bad things, get rid of it. Don't worry too much about it. Oh, it's like surrendering, isn't it, if I don't do this? Don't worry too much about it. Don't put yourself in the prison. You just go and apologize if you have to. If they can't forgive, that's their problem. It's not your problem. If they live in their prison, that's their problem. It's not your problem. You free yourself. You do what is the right thing. And then if they still don't want to associate with you, don't associate. But you don't live in the hatred anymore. Not in the anger anymore. Whatever is there that is going to come up, number second one, negative things, bad things, forgiveness, kindness, understanding that people make mistakes. You know, the people are ourselves the same. Sometimes we say terrible things without intention or with intention to hurt people, do things to hurt people. We are the same. Like everyone saying, like in the Titanic, that's going to sink. We are going to die one day, all of us. No point hanging on to these negative things. So forgiveness, kindness, understanding, let it go. So that how you let go of the negative things that's not yet arisen. So these first two are very important. So once you free yourself from this prison, negative prison, prison of anger, prison of hatred, you're already, your heart is lightened. Much, much happier heart. So now we got to go a bit higher up. Whatever is there, the third exertion that we have to put to live in a higher state of, you know, of the mind is to cultivate and to, you know, develop what wholesome things there, what good things there already existing. You know, what friendship there, you know, what, you know, goodness we have, you know, to our children, to our partners, to our parents, to our brothers and sisters, relatives, colleagues, you know, good relationship that we have built up. Keep it that way. Keep it that way. Don't let it deteriorate. That's why the second thing is very important. Whatever negative thing that's about to come up, get rid of it. It applies to the people where we have a relationship already established. And then something, little thing happens and then you start getting angry. You've been married for 20 years. Now suddenly your wife said she doesn't like that, you know, anchovies anymore. And you got upset. My goodness, I've been liking anchovy. I thought you like it. And the wife said, I'm liking it because I try to make you happy. And now she said, I don't like it anymore. I don't want to eat it anymore. Don't take negative. Be thankful that for that 20 years, she has tried to please you. For that, be thankful and be happy. Don't take it in a negative way. Oh, now you don't like it. What, you don't want me anymore? Is that so? And all the confrontations comes in and negative things comes in. All the things that you have done for 20 years, just in that one little words, and the truth comes out and then you don't like it anymore. So we have to look the whole integrated things, not just one little event. So when you look at the whole thing, oh, when we met each other and now we've been so happy, you know, all these things happens, you know, then you forgive and then you brush it off and then happiness continues. Happiness continues. And your relationship at work as well, either your boss or your colleagues or people under you, they've been good all the time and suddenly because of some problems they have, something happens and suddenly you get angry on them, you can't forgive on them, you really go hard on them. Find out, investigate what is going on. Then try a way you can forgive them. You can show your kindness, what type of person they are. If they are good people, good workers, then, you know, there must be something that happens in their lives, something they're not happy. Forgive them with that understanding and keep the relationship, you know, going positive all the time. So that's the first three exertions you have to do. Whatever bad things already there, get rid of it. Whatever bad things not arisen yet, don't let it arise. Whatever good things already existing, then keep it that way. Develop it to flourish more. And the fourth one, fourth exertion is, whatever good things, wholesome things, that has not arisen yet, let it rise. Let it rise. Don't leave it there. Let it come up. Let it flower. Let it blossom. Isn't it? You've been thinking of the old lady down the road, you know. She's living alone. You've been thinking of cooking something for her all this time. And it's about 3-4 years now. You haven't cooked anything for her yet. Don't wait. Cook something and then bake a cake or something like. Go and give it to her. There you are. That's for you. Show your kindness. Things like that, you know, things you want to do, you know, don't wait till somebody died or somebody gone away or then, you know, you want to show how much appreciate them. Show it now, don't wait, you know. And whatever good things you're going to do, you're going to practice meditation and keep your mind calm and this and that. Oh, well, when I get a bit free, then I'll do it. Don't postpone it. Do it now. Do it now. These are the things that Buddhist, these are the Buddhist teachings, pointing out, you know, you want to put right effort, you want to cultivate, this is the four exertions that you need to put, that you need to practice to live in a higher realm. It's called Brahma Vihara. That means the mind state is living in a very high realm, and with that mind, with the training of meditation, with this wisdom and with this practice, this doesn't come easy. When you try and practice these four exertions in everyday life, that's what Buddha suggests, it's not an easy thing to do. But once you were able to manage it, and then your life become much more happier, much more easier. You have less enemies. You have less enemies. And you are not in that little prison anymore, and that you put yourself in. Nobody put you in that prison. You put yourself in there. You free yourself. That's what Buddha is saying. It's in your hand. It's in your hand. The physician gives you, the doctor gives you the prescriptions. And you can read it 1,000 times, but if you don't take it, you don't get any benefit out of it. You heard Buddha's teachings 1,000 times, but these are the four exertions. If you don't exert these things in your life, everyday life, you don't get nowhere. You're like everyone else. You know, the mind's not trained, not seeing things, not realizing things. That's why Buddha said, you know, Buddhism is hard to understand, hard to practice. People are attracted like magnet to these sensual pleasures and all these things that they see as going to bring happiness to them. That's why when he got enlightened, he was very heavy-hearted and he didn't want to teach. But then some divine beings came and, you know, asked him that there are people who are with only little dust on their eyes and with a little bit of help, guidance, they can enlighten. Some people have a bit more dust, but then still can be, you know, help. But then there are people who are totally full of dust, blind. Then those sort of people you can't help, of course. That's divine being requested Buddha. There are many people in this world with only little dust in their eyes. They can be, you know, helped. They can be guided. So that's why Buddha taught for 45 years. So then we heard about Buddhism, we heard about Buddhist teachings. But if you don't practice, if you don't cultivate, if you don't do it, really do it, to test it, to investigate, give it a go, whether it works or not. If it works, use it. If it doesn't work, discard it. That's what Buddha said. Measure it with your own experience. You practice according to what he's taught. See what happens. Don't practice the other way. Listen carefully to what he actually taught. And do exactly what he said. He has shown the path, and try and walk on it. See what happens. If it doesn't work, then, you know, don't worry about it. But if it works, please keep on doing it. That's a happier way to live. I offer this to you today. Hope you can benefit in your daily life. Thank you.